Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is episode 1723 of Radio Free Redoubt, the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too. Now, man, it is 93 degrees outside earlier today. Summer is here. I'm loving it. We're ramping up to the 4th of July. Independence Day. And God and Country celebration, just so much to be thankful for, and I'm thankful for you guys tuning in. So, man, let's get down to it. Yesterday, I hope yesterday was a little kind of heady, a little preachy, maybe, but you know, doggone it, I'm a Christian, so unapologetically so. But talking about libertarianism, liberalism, conservatism. And classical liberalism; those terms are being flung around quite a bit, and I think it's important. We need to know who we are. We need to be able to define who we are, and understand when others try to label us incorrectly. That you know, we know where we stand on things. So that's why I covered that yesterday in a positive feedback on that, actually, and it was good. But let's get into the news and commentary for tonight's show. And the news and commentary section is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series, but the collapse and the rebuilding in America, the silver lining, the light at the end of the tunnel. There is another side to this. So check it out, 299days.com. In international news, interesting, especially for this listening audience and the Amron operators, being security-minded, this one jumped right out at me. A cyber attack on Parliament leaves ministers of Parliament unable to access emails. In the UK, they experienced, the legislators experienced a cyber attack. So, they cite possible danger of blackmail attempt as House of Commons investigates unauthorized attempts to access their user accounts. So, it doesn't matter what their motive is. Apparently, this was a sustained and determined, I quote, sustained and determined cyber attack. So, they said that fewer than 90 email accounts were compromised. And they couldn't get into their emails. So now I don't know if when they say compromised, does that mean somebody attempted so many times unsuccessfully that it locked them out? So they claim that they were compromised, or does that mean they got in? So, you know, if it depends on, you know, if you're using weak passwords, we've talked about that plenty in the past, computer security, you need to have good passwords. Fewer than 90? Okay, let's call it 90. Let's call it 85. That's too many. Shouldn't happen. Now, what happens if the institution you're working for, whether it's your business or your position in your local government or state government, this happens to you? Well, here is the solution. I strongly recommend, I am a big advocate of Thunderbird email service, email client. It's like Outlook. I know a lot of you guys are already familiar with it. But the reason why is because if your Minister of Parliament or legislator.gov.state.gov email account encounters a cyber attack where you can't access it, you got to have a backup plan. You have to still be able to continue functioning. So Thunderbird email is definitely the way to go for several reasons. First of all, you can manage multiple email accounts in it. I have several email accounts. If for some reason our server that hosts my Radio Free Redoubt, John Jacob at Radio Free Redoubt, gets attacked, then I just fall back to my Unseen account, which is also in my Thunderbird. All of that's there. So I have multiple emails all managed right there in Thunderbird. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's no less secure. I also have full access to all of my contacts shared across all my email clients. So if I need to send something out from StartMail or Unseen or RadioFreeRedoubt.com, I have access to all my same email contacts right there in Thunderbird. And the part that I like the best is that with Thunderbird comes Enigmail, which allows you to set up PGP encryption keys and have the capabilities to send encrypted, uncompromised emails to others who also have PGP encrypted email set up. So even if it is intercepted, if my computer gets hacked and they try to get into my email, my emails, they can't read probably about half of them because about half the people I correspond with use GPG encryption. So if they broke in and got the emails, all they would get is encrypted email that they can't do anything with, including the attachments. So anyway, let's learn from their misfortune and apply something like that can live to our lives. And let's move on. European. Check out this headline. This is from Voice of America News. It's actually on several news outlets. But here's the headline. Europeans learn to live with and adapt to terrorist attacks or terror attacks. What a headline. They're learning to live with and adapting to terror attacks. The jihadi targets in Europe are depressingly repetitive. The Brussels metro, all these attacks they name. The steady stream of attacks on centers of daily life have drawn pledges from Europeans not to let terrorists change how they live. Now, this is ultimate denial. You bring in invaders who carry out terror attacks that they said they are going to. And then when they start doing it, you refuse to let them change how you live. But you're the one that created this situation. Isn't this interesting? So there was an attack, and the subway in Brussels. And then I'm reading through this. I screamed to close the doors immediately. I asked to get out of there as fast as possible and that everyone get down on the floor. Okay, they're interviewing somebody that was there. And then they go on and say, that reaction, blocking the door and fleeing, has become part of the official instructions on what to do in case of an attack. Now, these are people who are saying, we refuse to let these terror attacks change our lives, change the way we live. But then it says, signs have been posted in public areas and even schools showing people running, ducking beneath a window, or using heavy furniture as a barricade. So they're spending money. They have this public awareness campaign going on. And now this has permeated the lives of the average European. To wherever you travel now and in your schools, there are signs being posted showing people running and ducking beneath windows or using heavy furniture as a barricade. That is the new normal they've created in their culture. Can you imagine walking into your child's school and there's a big yellow sign showing students pushing desks against the door to avert a Islamic attack on them and their school. As a constant reminder of what to do and how to react when this happens. It says, tensions are high enough in central Paris that on Thursday, the quick response police unit reacted to a witness phone call about a man wearing a sidearm by tackling him on the street, only to learn that he was a ranking member of the anti-terrorism squad, according to French media. A guy is seen, a Frenchman is seen with a sidearm, wearing a sidearm in a holster, walking down the street or standing on the street, and he gets tackled. That's what happens when you create a victimhood society where somebody seen with a sidearm is tackled because they are completely disarmed in that culture. Now, when was the last time a terrorist was wearing a sidearm on his person? There's no even any kind of logic left in these people. So what they've done is they've let the enemy inside, and then they are absolutely altering their lives and their lifestyles and the way they think, the way they behave. Everything about their lives is different now. This is the ultimate denial. But this would be like me saying, you know what? I'm going to let these five people into my home. And I know not all of them are bad. Okay. I only know that, like, you know, one out of five or one out of 10 are, you know, a murder jihadi type of Sharia law, caliphate established, kill the West type of person. Only one in 10. You can't judge the whole group of people just to base, you know, based on one. On that one out of 10. Okay, so would I let 10 people that I know that are from a demographic group that 1 in 10 want to kill my family and let them come into my home? I would be irresponsible if I did. But that would be like letting them come in to show that I'm open, to show how loving I am, knowing that one of those 10 plan to murder us and dominate us. So what we're going to do is let them all in because that's just the kind of people we are, but only I have to escort my daughter everywhere. I have to make sure that I have to install deadbolts on her bedroom door so she can sleep at night. You know, I have to take all these measures. After letting this threat in, and Wild Bill, I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. He was arrested yesterday in Canada for hate speech. On his way to a speaking engagement, he was invited to speak on this rally to speak out against Islam and to talk about the threat that it is posing to different cultures. He was arrested at the Canadian airport in Canada. He's been released. He's back in the United States now. I'm going to talk about that. But he uses the example, look, if I had a bag of M&Ms, knowing that one out of every 10 M&Ms was poisonous, would I bring it home to my family and feed it to them, give it to them? No, of course not. So, I'll get to that in just a little bit. National news. This is why we live in the free zones and not in the People's Democratic Republic of California and places like it. But this is great. California now bans most state-funded travel to 8 states. They've just added 4 states. Democratic Attorney General Xavier Becerra added Texas, Alabama, South Dakota, and Kentucky to the list of places where state employee travel is restricted. Lawmakers actually passed a law last year. This is a law that the legislature passed banning travel to states with laws that discriminate against lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender people. If you discriminate, and what that really means is if you don't embrace, if you don't fall all over yourself to welcome and embrace and celebrate and hop and skip around in the street in celebration for sexual deviancy, we are going to punish you. And we are not going to spend any money in your state. We're not going to allow any of our state employees to travel there. Now, North Carolina, Kansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee are already on the list. This could be a good list of, well, generally, somebody recommended. And this could be a good list to use to identify states you might want to move to. So, not a bad thought, although, Texas, my goodness, they are getting Islamified in multiple places. They are getting overrun with illegal South American and Central American invaders. It's completely changing. Texas is changing. It's turning blue. Matter of fact, I think in the last election they were purple. They're not red anymore. So some analysts anticipate 5 years, 7 years, and that'll be a blue state. It will be occupied territory. I hate the thought of that. I mean, come on, the Republic of Texas? But then a listener and an Amron operator sent this in. Incredible. Here's a picture of a black and white police car, SUV, patrol rig in Houston, covered with rainbow stripes. HPD for Houston PD is all rainbow. The shield, the Houston police shield on the side is all horizontal rainbow colors. Police and the stripes running down the side are all in rainbow colors. And on the back is a heart. This is HPD Pride 2017. And they were told to participate in the homosexual parade that took place. And the police cars, all adorned in rainbow colors, had to participate. Pride, equality, peace is what it's got on the side of the patrol cars. Not justice. Not protect and serve. It's pride, equality, peace. But they're militant and anything but peaceful. And now, this is how do you get sexual deviancy advanced so heavily from the top down in places where a city mandates that police officers participate in the parade and they go through the expense to completely redesign and custom make decals for their patrol vehicles with rainbow stickers, rainbow shields, and rainbow hearts on their police vehicles. This is... we keep sinking to new lows daily. All right, let's move on. TSA, let's look in the privacy department. TSA is going to look through your books now, apparently. They said that they will not read your content and they don't want to pay attention to what it is specifically that you're reading. They just want to flip through the books to make sure nothing's hidden inside the books, like in the pages. Look, a book is going through, it's all going through. If you hollowed out a book and put a gun in it or a knife in it, you could, you can see that. It's very distinct in a book. I don't, magazines, books, and what was the other thing? I can't. Anyway, I know it was books and magazines. Magazines. They need to flip through there to see if you could be hidden. So don't put your one-time pads in your books or magazines. You're going to have to put them someplace else. Like a thumb drive. Here's some good news. Some potentially promising news. This is out of, this was brought to us by KTVB. Now, I knew about this, but this is good to see this actually finally becoming official. A federal prosecutor revealed in a court document that the investigation of FBI agents involved in the traffic stop that led to the killing of Oregon standoff spokesman Robert Lavoie Finicum is before a grand jury. So now this could also be very strategic. They want to get information. Patriots, those in the Patriot community, want to get information about the status of the FBI agents, which are being, they face indictment. I'll tell you that right now. They face indictment. And right now, this confirms that it is under a grand jury review right now, which means charges will probably be coming for the FBI agents involved in the shooting of Lavoie at that incident and the cover-up after that. So heads are going to roll. It looks like justice could be done there. We'll follow this. But this could be strategic too, because as long as it's wrapped up in grand jury, they can't release any details about the investigation of the FBI agents who are under investigation. So I wonder, and I've not heard of a case that's been indefinitely under continuous grand jury review, so the details are locked up and can never be revealed. I don't put anything past these people. Some of the things that we've learned about some of the corrupt bureaucracies and the people that have an agenda have been shown to be corrupt. And so many, we've talked about this. Redoubt News has covered this. So many others have covered this. I don't know. I'm skeptical. Hopeful, though. I'm hopeful. This is good. This is a confirmation that those individuals, I've always been a pro FBI guy. I just always had the highest level of respect for the FBI. My respect and admiration was shaken heavily over the last few years with things that I've seen happen. I'm hopeful that those who were involved in that are held accountable. I don't know. What more can I say? Let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Wild Bill and the situation that he faced in Canada yesterday. And also some pointers and tips for our patriots that are traveling and especially traveling abroad. And well, take Canada off your list. How's that? That'd be a good start. Okay, stay right there. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
This is segment two, which is brought to you by our good friends and fellow patriots at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots to get strategically relocated to the northernmost part of the panhandle of North Idaho, which is one of the top destinations for people relocating. If you need help with that, get a hold of them at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Now, Wild Bill in Canada invited to speak at this rally, and they snatch him up at, well, let me just read this to you. American speaker arrested in Canada for smuggling hate speech on his iPad. Now, you guys understand how far off the rails Canada has gone with this hate speech thing. Putting a special protection classification on Islam, including jihadists, and also including sexual deviancy. So, Wild Bill for America, also known as William Finley, a popular author and speaker, was arrested today, June 24th, that was printed yesterday, at a Canadian airport for smuggling hate speech on his iPad. He was invited to speak at an event in Calgary's Olympic Plaza called the Patriotic Unity Mega Festival, coordinated by Canada's Worldwide Coalition Against Islam, WCAI. So I can imagine there's got to be hate speech charges. It's got to be coming for WCAI also for bringing this right-wing radical extremist hater into Canada. But a special event permit for the event was denied by Calgary's Department of Canadian Recreation. Big surprise, according to an article by CBC News. On the basis that your organization, quote, your organization and messages it espouses are hateful. But event spokesman Jerry Phillips responded on Facebook saying, we are going to march downtown and show the biased city officials that we will not be silenced. It's all about standing up for our rights and freedoms. We are not interested in a violent confrontation or anything like that. It's all about having a peaceful protest. So, I have a video. I want you to hear Wild Bill's so-called hate speech. Everything that he says in this presentation is pure reason and logic and common sense. And it is absolutely worth watching. I highly recommend it. I strongly encourage everyone in this listening audience to follow the link that we're going to have. We'll probably link this also on Facebook, and it'll be in the highlights and resources posting. It's Wild Bill talking about this Islamification of the West and how we have been stifled against speaking out against it. And he said something brilliant. I almost had this thought, but my little pea brain just didn't quite grasp this on my own until he said it, and it went ding, light bulb. He said, Islamophobia. It's the left who has the Islamophobia because they are so fearful of repercussions from speaking out against these Islamic and Sharia practices of hate, of rape, of women abuse, of child abuse, of violence, of replacing the Constitution with Sharia. The litany of things that they've done. And he does such a great job in this, I think it's like, 20, 25 minute video. Excellent. But he's dead on right. Islamophobia is what the left has. They are so afraid of Islam that they want to appear to embrace them. They're not fearful of what they're going to do to them. They're fearful of being labeled as Islamophobic. So they fall all over themselves, regardless of how illogical it is, how it defies any type of reasoning, because of their fear of ramifications and repercussions. of speaking out against Islam. That's Islamophobia. He nailed it. He's also the one saying, you know, look, it's this common, you know, conception not a misconception, commonly accepted, even among the Muslim community, that, you know, only 1 in 10 are, you know, have that type of mentality, that jihadi mindset. And he said, you know, what if only 1 in 10 M&Ms were poisoned? Would you sit there? Would you eat a bag? No, you got to deal with the whole bag until you can get that 1 out of 10 sorted out. So anyway, he made a really good case for that. Check that out. But I want to talk about this security. Traveling abroad. Okay. Rules for conservative, patriotic Christians, a.k.a. radical extremists, who are traveling. A high-profile person like Wild Bill, traveling with his whole speech, which he knows is hate speech, according to the twisted and bent minds of the Canadian mind control Gestapo, traveling with that. Now, in this case, sometimes it's not a bad thing to be arrested. Right? This is something I would not mind being arrested for. It really highlights the lunacy of the left, and especially how far advanced Canada is from the United States in advancing those leftist totalitarian type of ideals. And so this is actually a good thing. But when you get arrested, you don't know how it's going to turn out. You didn't know at the moment when you got arrested that it was going to turn out this great. You could be the guy they want to make an example of and actually prosecute you, and you find yourself in a Canadian jail for 35 years because of what they're looking for, a poster child to say this is what's going to happen to you when you violate our hate speech laws. Fortunately, now I don't know if he'll get extradited, if he's going to charge him. I have a feeling, from what I understand so far, talking to one of the patriots, knows him more personally than I have. He's closer friends with him than I am. It looks like they just basically kicked him out of the country, saying, you're not welcome here because of your hate. How did they arrest him? And how was he smuggling it? It was on his iPad. No, patriots, if you're traveling with something that's sensitive, something that could be incriminating, there are people that are dealing with this all around the world. We can play games right now because it's just the Canadians, and what are they going to do to us? But the stakes are going to get higher, and things are going to get more serious. Now, the Christians that are overseas in real hostile territory, they get this. They're smuggling in people and documents, Bible study material, Bibles. They are smuggling in and out pastors. They are smuggling people who have been rescued from slavery. They are smuggling young women who have left the faith, whose family wants to kill them because they became Christians, and now they're underground. So all of their communications and the documentation and the transferring of the funds to make sure that this happens, smuggling the young woman out of the country, or paying for these Bibles, or paying for gasoline and bus fare and things like that for people to move around within a country, if they get caught, they're dead. Or they will go to prison, and it is not a Canadian prison. So right now, patriots, begin developing solid tradecraft habits. So if you are going to travel with hate speech on you, it needs to be handled a couple different ways. First of all, it needs to be password protected. Secondly, it needs to be encrypted. And another way is to not travel with it at all. Look, in this day of internet, you can huck something over the border virtually. So you travel clean with your little iPad, and they take it from you, and it's got pictures of your family, your picnic, all your news apps and things like that. Fairly benign. You get to the other side, and you emailed it to yourself, where you get your whole speech and everything, download it right there, and there you go. And of course, if you're using encrypted email, it's stored encrypted. And now, I use laptops. I don't use tablets. I have a tablet, but laptop is just more my functional workspace that I use. I couldn't type up a speech on a tablet. It would drive me absolutely bonkers. All right. So a little bit larger size. I've got more, full functional laptop, but inside of that, I use encryption. I use encrypted vaults. I use Veracrypt. I use several other different encryption tools. So things that are sensitive, I lock down. And when I traveled, when I, spoke in, six different states traveling, I was flying a lot, and I thought about this in the back of my mind. What if somebody, identifies me and says, let's snatch his laptop? There's email contacts. There's the whole network. Everything's right there. Well, it's like tied in a nice, neat little bow. It's unarmed inside the, airport, inside the security perimeter. I mean, we got him. So I thought about this. What if somebody got a wild hair, to try to harm me in that way? It was locked down, and I was mentally prepared. If you're ordered, you will unlock that, or you're not leaving here. Well, bring me a cup of coffee then, because it's going to be a long night or a long week or whatever. I will stay as long as it takes. That thing ain't opening. Mostly because I didn't have the full key with me. So it would require authentication by another person to assist in that kind of a situation. So start thinking about this stuff, guys. Right now, it's almost laughable. Oh, arrested by the Canadians for hate speech, because you got a speech about the damage that Islam is doing in Europe. Okay. Are you really scared about your future and what's going to happen to you? I mean, this isn't North Korea after all. So, yeah, I don't care if they find it. But you need to start caring, because, like I said, the stakes are going to change. The other thing, too, if you're going to have it on you, you can have it in an encrypted volume and name it something innocuous. And you could even name it something like, your family health records, because you ain't touching that. You don't go into health records. That's a violation of HIPAA. And that's international standards for, have been adopted for, protecting the health, medical privacy, privacy of people's medical records. So, you could label it something like that. And you can have your health stuff in there also. But just a few ideas I wanted to share with you guys. Okay, let's break. Come back to segment 3 in just a minute. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
And we're back with segment 3 at Radio Free Redoubt, brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and help you thrive on your property. One of the most recent services they've added is the pre-purchase property evaluation. Before you even commit to purchasing a property, you want a professional to walk through it with you. They're going to look at all the different factors. And they're going to evaluate those, like water access, existing vegetation, terrain features, drain patterns, soil type, solar exposure. Really with sustainability in mind. Sustainability, for food production and also defensibility, microclimate factors. They look at a lot of things and consider a lot of things. So if you're like right in the middle of looking for property and you need some assistance with something like that to get the most use out of it, check him out today. Go to strategiclandscapedesign.com. Okay. Each week we want to share a testimony with you from redoubters, those who have taken the gap. And this latest one is from codename, we'll call her M. And this is the readers, you know, responding to the American Redoubt. Trying to define who redoubters are. No, I want to share those with you. The testimonies of those who are actually taking the gap or in the process. So if I've not gotten your testimony yet, send it in. Others need to be encouraged by your story. Others need to know, or you need to, others need to know that their idea is not radical. It's not extreme. It is, it's not fringe. People just like you have taken the gap for the exact same reasons. Because they want to live where it's more free. They want to live where people hold conservative values. So let me read this one. This is from, I'll call her codename M. I didn't plan to move here. I knew nothing of Idaho except potatoes. But God knew that this was where I needed to be. My ex-husband and I had started prepping for Y2K while in Southern California. I moved to Idaho with my daughter while going through a divorce, and after several years of getting my radios and antennas all set up, I ran across the Radio Free Redoubt podcast and Amron websites. I read the book Patriots as recommended by JJS and signed up as an Amron operator. I started talking to people anywhere I went about what was happening to our country, as well as end time prophecies that were unfolding. The Lord spoke to me about starting a Patriot Prepper group. We have about 30 members from four different counties, of which 90% are Amron operators. I have a talent for organizing and facilitating, which are the skills necessary to do the very thing I'm doing. I also have a knack for hospitality. This is what God sent me here for. Yes, it is so awesome that even though we don't always know the direction God wants for us, if we continue to trust Him, He will guide us into the place we need to be. Thanks to JJS and all of his crew to help make the Redoubt Amron idea an inspiration and a resource to us all. So thank you so much for sharing that. And it is a crew. There are a lot of volunteers behind the scenes that are working their little micro sliver of this whole big picture to make it happen. And it's very encouraging. I had a very encouraging meeting last night with several folks, and it was after the rally yesterday over in Post Falls, Idaho. And several of the leaders, we all got together and discussed some things, and it was very encouraging. So welcome to the American Redoubt. Now, the other thing that's really encouraging, you want to get your batteries charged up. June 30th through July 2nd, that's next weekend, this coming weekend, for God and Country. If you want to roll in at on Friday, the gates open at noon. We'll have a tent set up there for Amron with communications gear, demonstrating that for emergency disaster communications. And it won't be hard to find us, but just go to marblecountry.com and all the information there, including the directions. So you don't want to miss that. Also, we are up over for Liberty State. The poll at Patriot Polls for the flag and the state seal are about 850 votes now. Coming up on 850 votes. So we're getting so close to 1,000 votes. Make it happen. Help us out. All right. Let's talk about a little bit of history. I want to share something with you guys. I've mentioned before, but it's been a while. And it's just important to come back around and remind the listeners and new listeners. Thank you, by the way, for helping spread the word. we need to go back and revisit those who have gone through tyranny and oppression under totalitarian regimes in the past and learn from their mistakes. No, it doesn't matter what you call it. Communist, socialist, fascist, whatever. It's totalitarian and it's tyrannous. And no matter what banner it flies under, dictatorship. Okay, but it's interesting that today what we see are that the chants and the slogans are clearly communist influenced, communist revolutionary. That's why I make that reference a lot. Communism's not dead, and neither is their tactics. Neither are their tactics. Is their tactics. But it's the same mantra that's been used time and time again in history to oppress people. For example, World War II. You had socialist Nazis and communists from Eastern Europe. They were arch enemies to each other. Now we see this amalgamation of socialism and communism and all of this, all these isms coming together to war against really godly principles and the principles of the West, specifically United States founding principles. But even though the socialists, Nazis, and the communists in Eastern Europe were enemies to each other, they were the worst enemies of their own citizens. And we need to learn from their stories. Speaking of testimonies, there's a World War II survivor. Her name was Kitty Werthmann, warning us about socialism and gun control and many other things. I'm going to play a small segment of this for you. Just about the firearms. But she covers, this is just so timeless. If we knew history, we could recognize the danger, because she explains exactly the same arguments that they used for instituting when the government took control of the education system and removed religious teaching and replaced it with sports and pro-government indoctrination. Socialized medicine. She talks about the devastating effects on their healthcare system, and all of the arguments that they used to implement it were swallowing the same arguments. Eugenics, abortion and euthanasia, all present, same arguments, same reasons explained why they should have it then is being used to get us to capitulate and accept these destructive policies and ideologies. She discusses in this video the social programs and providing everything under the name of equality to all people, guaranteed minimum income, guaranteed housing. Jobs would increase, and they did. But you know what they were? Government jobs. This is the same thing that happened under Stalin, under communist Soviet Union and Russia. Almost everybody knew somebody who worked in the government, and just about half the people that you knew would work for the government at some level. The bureaucracies that were created, the agents and bureaucrats that invaded every part of the citizens' lives and their businesses. She talks about how the Nazis developed a nationwide network of informers, turning in their neighbors, where people didn't even trust their own neighbors and sometimes their own family members, turning them against each other. Amazing. So I want you to listen to this section. She also talks about how they disarmed the people and her thoughts on an armed citizenry. This is coming from an 87-year-old woman who's seen it, who's seen the practical application of all these theoretical explanations about why we should give up guns, register them, and give them up. So listen to this.
We also had gun control. The government said that children were playing with guns and we had hunting accidents, people accidentally shooting each other, and we had criminals again, murderers. The only way that they could track the murderer was by the serial number of the gun. So bring your gun to the police station, then we can register the serial number and we can track the criminal. And we thought that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. So gladly we did that. Not long afterwards, they said, no, it did not help. We could not track all the criminals. The best way to have no more crimes and no more people getting hurt, bring your guns to the police station, and they already know who had guns because we registered our guns. Keep your guns and buy more guns and and stack up on your ammo. A gun is no good if you don't have any ammo. Dictatorship did not happen overnight. It took 5 years, from 1938 until 1943, we had a full-blown dictatorship. Had we kept our guns, we would have fought a bloody battle to the last man and woman to keep our freedom. But we had no guns. A classic example is, in Switzerland, it is law that everybody has to have a gun. And Hitler took every country in Europe except Switzerland. And Switzerland did not have a war for more than 600 years. Hitler never tackled Switzerland. So keep your guns. Keep your guns.
Now, is that cool or what? No, it brought me to this article from Redoubt News. Excellent, excellent. I think probably the best one I've seen by Sherry Duvalli at Redoubt News. It's called Liberty Advocates and the Freedom Agenda. She starts off with this one sentence: our country is under attack, period. And then she goes into the article. Well, she explains through the article how and why we're under attack. And through all of the reporting that they've done, they have articulated facts. They have made factual claims with evidence. She makes a claim and then backs it up with evidence, unlike the spineless weasels at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Like their article, John Jacob Schmidt, a radio show host and one of the leaders of the American Redoubt Movement, who is an anti-government extremist, blah, 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 blah. They just say, I'm an anti-government extremist, with no evidence, no supporting, just a drive-by label stamp with nothing to back it up. They state it as fact. So they already lost credibility. I was mentioning this last night. This came up again. I talked about this last fall when the article came out. They totally blew all their credibility. They have no credibility whatsoever. They started off by calling me anti-government. So, I mean, I don't care about being an extremist. Hey, Christ was an extremist. The founding fathers were extremists. Fine. But anti-government? I am not anti-government. So they already have no credibility. I'm pro-government. I'm pro-responsible, lawful government following the Constitution. And a government of God-fearing people who are adhering to the law. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. But she writes, to accomplish this, they misrepresent the Constitution and rewrite the law to benefit themselves. It began with the assertion that we are a democracy. We are not. The truth is we are a constitutional republic, and everyone elected to government office knows this, but they choose to ignore it in their quest for a totalitarian society. It is not communism, though many confuse it as such. Well, she's right. Communism, democracy is not communism. The lies that they're using is the same right out of the communist playbook. But it's not just communism that we're seeing. She's right. It is a whole cocktail of tyrannous systems and newly created ones or relabeled ones that are the enemy and adversaries of Americanism. But she nailed it. It began with the assertion that we are a democracy. We are not, she says, and she's right. Totalitarianism is a political system that does not recognize the rights of the individuals and places no restrictions on the authority of the state. That's totalitarianism. That's what people need to hear. And then she goes through, and time again, they've articulated at Redoubt News these things that have been taking place. And she, I'm going to wrap this up here in just a bit. She wrote this, and this is what I love hearing and seeing and what I've been pounding the pulpit on. Everyone has a role. She writes, some, like me, write articles to enlighten, educate, and inform the public. Others make videos for the same reason. Still, more will make phone calls to elected officials, write letters to the imprisoned, or organize events. Do not question the motives of your fellow patriot. Rejoice in their help and celebrate the victory. You do not need to agree with your neighbor 100% on each detail. We all need to understand that everyone has a role in our fight for liberty. Each will recognize their own purpose, and every undertaking is vital to our success. Everybody has a role. Find your role. Do something. Even if you make phone calls to elected officials or write letters to the imprisoned. Something. Find some way to make a difference and make your voice heard and stand up for liberty. But who leads the liberty movement? This was my favorite part of the article. Who leads the liberty movement? I didn't read. I'm just skipping through here. I want you guys to go and read it yourself. Underneath who leads the liberty movement, she writes, the federal government is desperate to find the leaders of the liberty movement. Their goal is to cut off the head of the snake or prevent the problem from growing and escalating. The same thoughts that were expressed by Oregon Senator Ron Wyden to keep the virus from spreading. So who is the liberty movement leader? Who leads it? I'm not going to answer that here. You're going to go read the article yourself. And it's perfect. And it's appropriate. And this is an appropriate place to end tonight's show. You guys have a blessed week. Be safe as you get ready for next weekend to go celebrate our independence. And we are going to be, it sounds like we're going to be, Matt Shea and I will probably be broadcasting live together next Saturday on KTW. From the event at God and Country, and I don't know, we might be on ACN, the full network. I'm not sure, but just tune in next week. We'll let you know. And also, we'll be posting frequencies on Amron.com for our communications plan for those of you who want to help participate in emergency communications demonstrations. We're going to have several stations on the air, and that's going to be going up in the next 48 hours. So I'll be checking Amron.com for that, for the frequencies and the kind of a net schedule, Morse code, digital modes. We're going to be demonstrating sending email over the air, over radio, and just lots of good training. Great weekend next weekend. I'm looking forward to it. So until then, have a blessed week, and thank you guys for your prayers and your support. It means so much. And with that, this is Radio Free Redoubt. Good night. We'll be right back.